and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's an easier confession than the Athanasian Creed, right? Just in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Creeds sometimes clear things up, other times they make things a little more confusing, but they are true nevertheless. So, dear saints, on this, the Holy Trinity of our church year, one of the major texts of our meditation will be from our Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And a little later, and then I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Unclean lips. Us all. Dear saints, we confess this every single week. We confess we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. And we say we, primarily meaning me, but also cannot reject the fact that we are just dwelling in the midst of unclean lips. The Holy Christian Church, beautiful saints dressed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, good people here, and yet I am a man of unclean lips, and I'm looking right at a people. I'm dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We have said with our lips some really mean stuff. We have blamed others. We have excused ourselves. You lie more often than you probably even think you do. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words also really, really, really hurt as well. We cannot deny sticks and stones hurt. But because we are also body and soul, we also cannot deny that when the soul is hurt, so the body is hurt as well. Your body and your soul, so you actually hurt, don't you? When you're angry, your body hurts. You actually hurt. When you're depressed, when you're sad, when you're grieving. And you actually hurt when things that have been said about you hurt your reputation, your feelings. They bring shame, they bring anger, resentment, guilt, and embarrassment, or more, they hurt. So unclean lips, us all. But Isaiah, as a priest, realizes something that I think we don't often think about. That is that his words and his people's words have not only hurt others, say they've said untrue things about other people, they have also said untrue things about God. They have spoken for God when God has not spoken for himself. They have said things about God that are simply not true. And we are so often tempted to do this as well. We are so often tempted to say, God would approve of that. When in fact, he has said, I don't approve of that. We are so often tempted to think God would understand when he has spoken against it. We are tempted to say, God just wants you happy. That's the great emotion of our culture. And it's true. That's the thing. But you don't get to define happiness. The Lord does. And more often in Scripture, he doesn't call it happiness. He calls it contentment. That is being happy with what you've been given in this lot. He doesn't so often call it happiness. He calls it blessedness. So things happen like, blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you. And you get slandered. And you get mocked. And you get have mean things said about you. Blessed are you, dear saints. We say untrue things about God. We speak about who God is or God isn't, how he feels or doesn't, why he doesn't do this and does do that. And when we do it, we say it from our heart. So often we're not saying it from his heart. The Holy Scriptures. And the reason is because we either think that we know better, or because we're just too lazy to look up what he actually says about it. Unclean lips, us all. Mean things about others, untrue things about God, and it is all because it is flowing from an unclean heart. So we say things like, it doesn't really matter what I do with my money. It doesn't really matter what you do with your money. God understands. He commands 10%, but he probably commands 10% for somebody that makes a little bit more money than I do. After all, he doesn't want me to starve. After all, he doesn't want me to not be able to afford my new iPad. And we do it, we say these things, we think these things, because the heart is full of worry. It is full of worry, and it is full of true doubt that God will provide. That if I give 10%, God won't provide. And that God is wrong with how much I should give. I know what I am supposed to do with my money. And we do this with everything. I know what I'm supposed to do with my mouth. I know what I'm supposed to do with my family. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know better than God. Dear saints, God is quite interested in your heart, unclean as it is. And so he is also quite interested in your money. Jesus says it this way, and this would be from your sheet that you have. This is that top verse, stewardship under the cross, putting it all together. About halfway down, there's a beginning of the Lord speaking. Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And perhaps the most surprising thing about this verse is this. That as much as our faith affects the way that we act, so our Lord tells us the way that we act affects our faith. So I think we would expect Jesus to say something like this. For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And that is true. Where your heart is, there your treasure goes. But Jesus doesn't say it that way. When you ask the question, do actions come first in this passage, or does faith come first? The answer is, actions come first. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so as much as we confess, as much as we believe God loves us, cares for us, provides for us, and never will he leave us, and never will he forsake us, and so then our actions actually follow suit, so also the Lord tells us to act like it, so that our faith is also strengthened. So one of the pastors that I greatly respect says it this way. If you want to be like a Christian, then act like a Christian. And so actions strengthen faith as much as faith affects our actions. And so as the old saying goes, you put your money where your mouth is. So also our Lord wants us to know that we confess things, that we do things where our Lord wants our mouth and our heart also to be. And so in church, I hope that you hear every single Sunday that faith needs to be strengthened by the Lord's word. But I also hope that you're hearing that your actions need to be strengthened, so that your faith is strengthened as well. Our second reading says, oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And so we say, I know better, so often. But we don't. We confess that if we don't know how many hairs are on our head, we confess that if we don't know how many hairs are on our children's head, how many raindrops fell on Tuesday, or how many gallons of water are in the Atlantic Ocean, if we don't know those things, but the Lord does, so also He must know how best to handle our money. So also He must know how best to handle our family, how best to handle death and sickness and conflict and health and work and so many other things. He knows better. It is to be encouraged that the Lord is in fact the Lord, and that He loves you, and that He is gracious and merciful, for from Him and to Him and through Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So you got on your sheet, in the back page, a list of yes or no questions. And so you say, my heart isn't there. Okay. That's fine. But let's at least have your mouth be there. So, yes or no? And say it out loud. The Lord loves me and gave Himself for me on the cross. Yes. All that I have comes from the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord blessed me to live in the richest land in the world. If I started living on 90% of my current income tomorrow, I or someone in my family would starve. And just because we were in the mood to go yes, 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 so don't watch it here, all right? Watch it. So I or someone in my family would starve. No. We have been making a first fruit, regular, proportionate, and generous, at least 10%, a tithe, money offerings to the Lord from my heart. You don't have to answer this. If yes, the Lord gives all the glory. You don't have to answer. If no, the Lord wants me to change the way I make money offerings to Him. And if the Lord, here we go, now we can all do this together. If the Lord wants me to change, I should change now, not later. And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ that changes me for the better. So our mouth is there, the action is there, and perhaps the action will be there a little later, but the heart follows after. Now, that's not the only thing that we say with our mouths. That isn't the only truth that our Lord wants us to have rubbed into our ears anytime. We believe the Lord's word, we confess it, and then the church has given us a wonderful gift that we confess it so that we might grow in the faith. And so we have the Athanasian Creed. We confess it, we don't get it all the time, but we grow in it. And then we say some of the most wonderful things that the Christian conscience can know. We say things like, Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. We say, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. We say, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. And the encouragement of the church is for you to keep saying it. Keep saying that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That there is nothing that is left in your conscience that Jesus hasn't paid for. That you are truly forgiven. That God is fully pleased with you. That God is at peace with you. That the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. That you leave this place, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. That when you go to sleep at night, you can say, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. That when you die, you can say, Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Keep saying it, dear saints, so that the faith in your heart is strengthened. Keep saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Keep saying, keep confessing, keep singing. Your faith is strengthened. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Be encouraged, dear saints. Keep saying. So that as things come out of your mouth, as your actions show forth, you also begin to grow closer and closer to the heart of God, who really, really loves you, who created you, who died for you, and who is with you now. Dear saints, unclean lips today came into contact with God. And just like in the time of Isaiah, there is an amazing thing that happens. Isaiah chapter 6 says, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. Your Jesus has died on the altar of his cross. And now from this altar, from this pulpit, from this church, he comes and he touches your ears, your conscience, and your lips. And he says, your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. That sticks and stones and words have hurt you, but that he has suffered sticks and stones and words, and he has suffered it all underneath for you. Your dear saints have nothing to be embarrassed about. You have no shame on your record. Everything is covered. The Lord really loves you. He really forgives you. All the worry and all the hurt and all the anger and all the hurt feelings from other, you come and you are refreshed by the healing words of Jesus. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And so is the sin atoned for of those that have hurt you. And so, your once unclean mouth says amazing things as well. It says amen to some truths. It says amen that Jesus is Lord. It says amen that nothing can separate me from his love. It says amen that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so the mouth keeps saying, the mouth keeps confessing. You keep coming to church and you keep doing things that Christians do. And so your heart is also strengthened to actually believe that this is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen.